Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Only just a matter of. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I've got a few questions for you. How would life change for you if you learned how to stop some of the painful patterns that sort of keep recurring in your life? And what if you learn to establish healthier boundaries, not in a selfish way, but in a way that actually helps you thrive and helps you to love others well? Like, are there places in your life where maybe you're giving yourself away in a way God hasn't asked you to, and you find yourself resenting it afterwards? Are you living for the applause of man or managing others' opinions of you? Do you feel like you're living out the best of what God has for you? Well, many would probably say, no, I don't feel like I'm living out the best of what God has for me. And if that's your answer, I want you to know you've come to the right place today. Dr. Allison Cook joins me today to talk about her book, The Best of You: Break Free from Painful Patterns, Mend Your Past, Discover Your True Self in God. Really great conversation up ahead. I love the content of this book. We got a handful of copies to give away thanks to Thomas Nelson. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And we'd love to know if we can pray for you. We've got a prayer tab on our website. In fact, other people, we have prayer missionaries who visit that prayer spot on our website. You'll be posted anonymously, but there are people who will just go on that page and they cover each of the prayer requests, and you'll receive a notification that you've been prayed for. So you just need to know you're not alone, and we love to stand with you. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Allison Cook is a psychologist and a writer who's helped women heal from past wounds, develop a strong sense of self, forge healthy relationships with others, and experience a loving God who is actually for them. Originally from Wyoming, Allison studied at Dartmouth College, Denver Seminary, and the University of Denver, where she specialized in the integration of theology and psychology. She and her husband, Joe, are the parents of two young adult children. Currently based in Boston, they spend time in the mountains of Wyoming as often as they can. Dr. Cook, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the show.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for that great intro.
Yes, looking forward to the conversation. So you know this, we start every day with the same question, just want to make it personal. What has the Lord been speaking to you about these days?
Very clearly, the Bible verse is from Matthew 5:37, but where Jesus says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Mm. I've been thinking so much about the yeses and nos that Jesus said. He said a lot of them. Both yes and no, mm-hmm. and the yeses and nos that I need to say in my life to be healthy. I talk about this stuff, I teach about this stuff, and I also am in process with this stuff very much in real time and really working through it in my own life. You know, as seasons change, as kids get older, as work obligations change, we have to really revisit, what am I saying yes to? What do I have to say no to? So that's where the Lord is really working with me right now.
What I love about that, Dr. Cook, is, you know, as you even say in the book, this is sort of a fluid thing. This isn't a once and done kind of inventory we take, because life changes so much, to be so in tune to what's lifing us, what's rubbing up against us, what's causing angst. I just think that's really a powerful tool you've given us here.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yep. And it comes up again and again, and I'm in a season of it right now.
Wow.
So appreciate that. In new ways and new areas.
Well, we're doing a new thing just in these days, just because we want to compile a show of some of our guests talking about the things for which they're grateful. So I would love to know from you, what are you most grateful for these days?
You know, I am most grateful for the mountains. We have an opportunity to be in the mountains where, and this is going to sound funny, but I really mean it. We have a little cabin. It's been in my family since I was a little girl, but it's in the mountains where there's no cell towers. So you literally cannot be online, be on a phone. Our phones don't work there. And so every weekend we've been going for, 2 days, and it is unbelievable to me to get 2 days away from a phone or away from the internet or away from, it's been so good for my soul. And to be honest, it's hard for me to do, if I have the option. And so I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for that place. I'm so grateful for that time. I'm so grateful for it. I'm learning when I take it. It's kind of like a Sabbath, right? We're supposed to take a Sabbath, but it's a next level Sabbath of, you know, I really am reading books. You know, I'm walking out in nature. It's a beautiful time of the year with fall. So that's what I'm most grateful for right now.
You know, I don't think I've yet heard from somebody who has created space for their soul who said, you know, it's so stressful for me to take walks in the woods and be away from
my
phone.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's such a waste of time. I could have been scrolling for hours, you know, but it does take so much discipline. But I've just been mindful of the phone myself, just setting that aside. And I've been amazed. I feel the well filling back up again. I don't think we know how many things just drain us that we're just letting into our lives without, you know, contesting them a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Hmm. Until you get a break and you go, oh my gosh,
yeah.
My mind is so clear and free.
Wow. I love that. Thank you for sharing. Well, you opened the book with a statement that this book almost didn't make it to print. And I'll just tell you, friends, this to me is like a balm for the soul. It's like therapy. It's wise, practical application. I wish we had 100 copies to give away because it's that helpful, but we got a handful. But you opened the book saying this book almost didn't make it to print. And you were talking about getting ready for a date with your hubby. And then a weird symptom kind of hit you. Tell us, I just felt myself going, as I was reading that story, but tell us more about it.
Yeah, it was during the pandemic. I was going to go put some makeup on. We were going to go, you know, just tailgate with, get dinner and sit on the back of the pickup truck, you know, and what we did during those first few months of the pandemic when everything was kind of locked down, and went into the bathroom to put makeup on. And I put, you know, just the concealer on my left index finger, you know, and you just kind of normally, you know, put it over and kind of dot it under your eye. Well, I couldn't move my finger. It was bizarre. I was just staring at it. You know, and you don't really think about how you move a finger. It just happens, but it would not move. And it was just the most bizarre experience. Suddenly something registered that something was very wrong. Like, you know, I couldn't, I say in the book, it was like, it's like looking at a book across the room and trying to move it. You know, that's how it felt. Mm-hmm. Like the finger was just disconnected from any cues I was sending it. And I yelled for my husband. He came running in. And sure enough, you know, I was slurring out the left side of my mouth, the whole left side of my body wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I was on the floor, and we realized very quickly, oh, this is a stroke. I was having a full blown stroke. I'm in my 40s. I had no known medical conditions. There was no reason for this to happen. Out of the blue, we're racing to the emergency room. It was probably one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me.
I'm so sorry you walked through that. And you said, you know, here you, prior to this, you even had written a blog about people trusting their bodies, trusting what the messages their body is sending. And you said that you, after this, had to surrender in a whole new way to the process of healing from the emotional aftermath of trauma. And just, our listeners know my backstory. You don't need to know it, but I just know that trauma very, very well. And I would love to know what that process looked like for you.
Yeah, it was really, I had done so much work on my emotional health and healing a lot of my emotional health. So what happened with this was it did launch a similar process where I would feel anxious, scared. I didn't doubt God's existence, but like, what does God really promise us, right? You know, we question, well, wow, you know, God lets really hard things happen. So, you know, spiritually it launches a lot of questioning. I, you know, was afraid to do certain things. You know, that's what trauma does, right? Our body kind of remembers. Like every time I go to put makeup on, I'm having an anxiety response, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, is that going to bring on this thing? Even though I know that's not rational, that's what trauma does. It's stored in the body, and we pair things together. And no matter how much I knew rationally, I'm a psychologist, it didn't matter. I still had to go through that process. I had to let my body, had to kind of begin that process that I teach people in the book, which is to trust instead of beating myself up, instead of shaming myself, you know, just go, okay, it makes sense to be gentle with myself. Of course I'm a little anxious. Of course I'm feeling scared. Of course I'm like, God, what are you doing with my life? Of course, you know, I'm going to be a little on edge. Like, that's a normal response. And that's where we start to heal, is when we are gentle with ourselves and we show compassion that our body's been through something really hard, whether it's something medical, whether it's something, you know, just a terrible relationship trauma, or, you know, any sort of loss or any sort of pain. Our bodies need time. It's normal to experience that full range of emotions. And when we try to bypass or short circuit that process, that's when we create deeper wounds. And so just letting myself go through that process, I took some time off. I took some time away from work. You know, I tried to apply the things that I teach other people. And therefore, you know, I was able to heal. I was able to go deeper into deeper spiritual and emotional health versus kind of burying it and then just feeling kind of quasi-anxious, you know, for the rest of my life.
Right. Oh, so important. What would you say the takeaway is on the other side, having gone through such trauma, coming out the other side? Can you identify any ways that you feel richer? I mean, where you, you know, like there was as traumatic as this was, there was a benefit to this battle. There's something I'm holding that I didn't possess before.
Yeah, I mean, some points of clarity. It's like maybe things I kind of knew, but now I really know. Number one, just to be grateful for every single day that we have, major in the majors, you know, what really matters, you know, what's important are these people that I love. And, you know, all of a sudden you stop worrying or thinking about the stupid things, you know, that don't really matter. Also just being aware that what God really promises us, and I talk about this in the book, is this deepening with Him, that we have this relationship and that He doesn't promise me an easy path. He doesn't promise me that I won't face things, but He does promise to be with me, that withness, that presence. And I never felt closer to God than in, as much as I was questioning, as much as I was talking to Him all the time, you know? And so I never felt closer to God than those few months after that, where it was just, it's kind of like rock bottom, you know, there's something about rock bottom, whether it's, again, for whatever reason you hit it, that's sort of freeing. Cause it's like, I'm okay. Cause God's here and I'm here and I survived it. And okay, God, now, you know, it's just, there's something that's cleansing good. About it. It's not that I wish it on people, you know, it's not that I want people to go, but there is something about it where God really meets us. And we sort of get clear about what really matters and what we really want out of life.
So good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I'm going to talk for a little bit about trauma. There's so much in this book. I told her before the show we could devote 10 shows to this book. There's so much content. But I thought it was so interesting about how I read in the book that children don't get traumatized because they're hurt. They're traumatized because they're alone with that hurt. And wondering how many adults are walking around today with unresolved trauma from childhood. And it might have been something as simple as you being in your classroom and the teacher saying something terrible and embarrassing you, but it felt like a, you know, capital T trauma to you, but you didn't know how to process it. So what is trauma and why is it important that we define that and understand what is kind of hiding in the basement of our souls? God wants us to get healed. He wants us to be whole, and He's raising up people to help us do that. Dr. Allison Cook is my guest today. Her book is titled The Best of You, Break Free from the Painful Patterns, Mend Your Past, and Discover Your True Self in God. We'll be back in a minute. So do you listen to Suzy Larson Live often? I sure hope you do. And if you do, I could use your help. Consider becoming a Faith Radio ambassador today and get the word out, not only about my show, but all the other great shows that we air on Faith Radio. You'll get everything you need to share the good news. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. You got plans for me. You got plans for me. Greater than my wife. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Allison Cook about her book, The Best of You, Break Free from Painful Patterns, Mend Your Past, and Discover Your True Self in God. You know, if you follow Jesus around the Gospels, you see a Savior who cares and cared about the human condition. He doesn't just save us to slave us. He doesn't save us just for eternity. If He did, that would be more than enough. But He addresses our soul. He restores our soul. He wants to heal us and redeem every part of our story. And you know I care a lot about that if you listen often enough, because we're talking about it every once in a while. This book, we got a handful of copies to give away thanks to Thomas Nelson. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got questions about working through trauma, go ahead and send those in just in a separate text. Here's the number one more time, 877-933-2484. And Dr. Cook, you write this about trauma. I thought it was so insightful. You said trauma, more simply defined, is an unwitnessed pain. Painful events bring on a cascade of complex emotions, such as fear, shock, anger, and a sense of vulnerability. Stress chemicals like cortisol are released, affecting the brain, the body, and responses to other people. If the pain isn't acknowledged and healed through loving connection, a wound is created that can fester for years. Wow. Say more about that.
Yeah, I mean, the way that God designed our bodies and souls to heal is fascinating, right? And one of the things we're learning, and the neuroscience backs this up, is that God didn't design us to be alone in our pain. Especially when you're a child, when something painful happens, and as you said, you know, so beautifully, it could be as simple as being bullied at school by peers, or, you know, conflict in the home, hearing your parents fight, even in the best of homes, this happens, right? It can be big T trauma, where there's, you know, violence and conflict all around. It can be little T trauma. If you're alone in that, and it's not named, and no one's coming alongside of you, we tend to either shame ourselves or blame ourselves. That's what children do. That's how they make sense of pain. It must be my fault that these kids are being mean to me. It must be my fault that my parents are fighting, aren't happy. And it's not true, but that's the message that children tend to pick up, and that we take those messages into our adult lives. It's my fault if other people aren't getting along, right? And so you imagine how if you begin to, and your little brain is just forming around that message, you don't know. You know, nobody's coming alongside of you saying, listen, mommy and daddy are fighting. It's really hard and it's not your fault. You're not doing anything wrong. Or these kids are bullying you. And you know what? It's not your fault. And we're going to help you. We're going to come alongside you. That's how we heal. Bad things can happen to us. Hard things can happen to us. But when other people come alongside us and name that and are with us in that pain and help us make sense of it in a healthy way, we don't develop these coping strategies, these trauma responses that we take with us into adulthood that don't serve us well.
Mm. Wow. When you, it seems to me, I often say that God will sometimes allow an overplayed enemy attack to position us for freedom. Like, because, you know, we keep getting triggered and we keep wondering why. And there are times it seems God allows something to stir us up so he can deliver us. So if we do the work and we connect with people, a coach, a counselor, a spiritual director, somebody, it's so often that that thing is connected to something in the past. How often, what percentage would you guess of people are walking around with unresolved hurt or trauma or something that's just not been, you know, healed yet?
Oh, almost everybody.
Really? I mean, that's what I was guessing too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has picked up wounds, and there are people who have started to do the work on those wounds more and more. You know, I think more and more people are awareness, you know, and I don't know what percentage, but it's, most people are walking around with some unacknowledged, unwitnessed pain. And especially when we're in our faith communities, unfortunately, what happens in faith communities is a good thing, which is turning toward God, you know, asking God to be with us, which is wonderful and good. It addresses a lot of the spiritual side of things. But a lot of times in faith communities, we're not encouraged to address the emotional pain. And we know that trauma exists in the body. So even some of the anxiety, some of the nervous system responses, the fight flight responses, right? The freeze fawn responses, these conditioned, nervous system responses that still might exist even when we know and love God. And so we're not taught that we actually have to pay attention. Just as you said, when we're activated, when we're triggered, those are cues. They aren't things to shame ourselves for. It's like, oh my goodness, that's a cue that there's something stored in my body that my nervous system is really, really, you know, really responding to and maybe even overreacting to. Let me get curious. And, you know, I live in the mountains. I talk a lot about hiking. We call these trailheads. A trailhead is a sign at the beginning of a trail. It's an indicator that there's a trail you got to go down. And it's an invitation to go down that trail. And sometimes that trail is scary. You know, sometimes it's like, I don't know what I'm going to find, you know. You don't want to walk down that trail alone. Again, you want to ask a safe person, a friend, a counselor, if it's a lot, you know, if there's a lot. But to walk down that trail and get to know, I wonder why I get so angry. I wonder why this makes me so upset. I wonder why this triggers envy in me. I wonder why this triggers, you know, self-hatred, whatever it is. Instead of shaming yourself for that, getting curious about it, because that's how you begin to heal.
That's so good. And you'd written this in your blog prior to that episode that you experience in your bathroom. You said, if you're never taught how to develop and trust your own sense of self, you have no choice but to blindly trust other people. How can you possibly forge healthy relationships with others if you don't first understand how to show up as the person God made you to be? And then this one I would love for you to comment on. Developing a strong sense of self is paramount to living the life God has for us. It's essential to healthy relationships with other people. It involves a deep understanding of your strengths, needs, values, and purpose. It's finding and expressing your unique voice in all kinds of relationships and situations. It's trusting that you have what it takes to meet the challenges you'll face no matter what life throws your way. This is just sort of that healthy, and we're going to get into just a moment, maybe after the bottom of the hour break. You make this great distinction between selfishness, selflessness, and selfhood. And I don't think people have ever thought maybe that there's a third option. And so we'll dig into that. But talk about that healthy, humble, confident picture of what really God wants for us.
Yeah, this was what became the focus of my doctoral studies. Again, out of my personal life, I knew and loved God. I knew how to love and care for others. I had no idea how to understand a relationship with myself. And it is that relationship. Jesus says, love others as yourself. There's an assumption there that we are in a relationship with ourselves. We were made in the image of God. We were made to bear God's image. And so I'm always, you know, it's not something we're often taught, that we do need to learn to trust ourselves, not in the sense of I'm infallible. You know, I make mistakes all the time. I am not God, you know, but God designed my emotions, my body, my nervous system to send me cues. And those cues are things that's my responsibility in partnership with God to pay attention to. Because otherwise, if we don't pay attention to some of those internal cues, you know, why does this make me angry? I can just, you know, get mad at myself for being angry, or I can notice maybe that person is mistreating me. Maybe that's a really important cue for me to pay attention to. If we don't pay attention to those internal cues, we outsource ourselves, you know, we outsource our self-esteem sort of. We are constantly looking to other people to tell us what we need, to tell us what we want, to tell us what we should be doing. But we also, you know, it's helpful to have other people. We want to bounce things off other people. And we also need to be listening and paying attention to our internal resources in partnership with God's Spirit.
So when a person is triggered, those first questions are, you know, filled with self-compassion and curiosity, just exploring, okay, where did that come from? Is that something someone can work through? I mean, I know it's always wise to have counselors, spiritual directors, life coaches and such, but can you get to a place where for the most part you can work through some of these things but with these tools, just learning to be curious about what's stirring you up?
Yes. I mean, this is what I do for me. It's part of my prayer time. Part of my time in praying to God is also noticing what's going on with me. And this is something Augustine talked about, Calvin talked about, you know, St. Teresa. This is not a new idea. How can I be close to God if I'm far from my own self? So what I do in the morning is I notice, I pay attention. What am I bringing to the table? It's a relationship, right? We say that all the time.
Good.
If it's a relationship, there are two people in it, and I am one of those people. You know, so if I go on a date with my husband, I'm like, how are you, honey? Let's talk all about you. And I'm not saying, man, I'm tired or I'm sad. That's not a very good relationship. Same with God. So in the morning, throughout the day, God, I am really, you know, I'm in the car, but, you know, cool pickup line. I am really frustrated. What's that about? So it's a conversation inside yourself that you're having with yourself or you're having with God. You pay attention. And again, it's a discipline of being, showing the fruit of the Spirit towards yourself, being gentle with yourself, being patient with yourself, right?
I'm going to pause here. That's so good. Talking to Dr. Allison Cook. We're going to talk about some of the subtle messages that we've received growing up that maybe weren't the best for us. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Allison Cook today about her book, The Best of You, Break Free from Painful Patterns, Mend Your Past, and Discover Your True Self in God. It's a beautiful hardcover book filled with so much wisdom. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. Here's the number, 877-933 2484. And Dr. Cook, let's talk about some of the silent messages that sort of infiltrate. And sometimes it's not silent. Sometimes it's right in your face. But sacrifice for others, die to yourself, ignore your emotions. You can't trust yourself. You know, you can even find some scripture to back up parts and pieces of these if you're taking it out of context. But you can imagine, I mean, I just marvel at how many missionaries go to the mission field with these wounded hearts and end up getting so burnt out and come back with such a loss of a sense of self where they're like, I gave up my life, but their hearts and their souls weren't healed in such a place that they were ready for something like that. And, you know, I like you, and just in a different way, long to see healing and restoration rise up in people, because when we show up that way, you know, my friend says, hurt people, but healed people heal people. And mm-hmm. I just think that's true. Anyway, long way to set that up, but talk about those silent messages.
Yeah, and you're right. They are taken out of context. When you look at the Bible, you know, it's tough to look at the Bible as a whole, right? We have to read the Bible against all the other parts of the Bible. We can't just rip. And it wasn't written, you know, like a verse, you know, to just pluck out. It was written. These are letters, many of them. There are all sorts of different ways. And so when you look at the whole of the Bible, right, that's where we start to see deeper into just the wisdom, the practical wisdom that's there that can get misconstrued with some of these messages. And I know I was taught, you know, really took very literally all through my 20s, you know, to only focus on other people. And it's a road, just as you're saying, on the mission field, to burnout, to resentment, to loneliness, to where we're no good to anybody because we're not doing well. I talk about in my practice just seeing women, especially women, but men too, but women after woman after woman, spiritually strong, but emotionally empty, struggling, depressed, anxious. You know, why does this happen? Well, I do think it gets at what we've been talking about, which is what the whole topic of the book is we are responsible to care for ourselves. It's not our job. We are not called, you know, to this whole message that I really take some time to unpack of die to yourself. When you really look deeply into what does Jesus mean by that, this deny yourself and follow me. And he talks about the metaphor of the seed, right? The seed has to get buried and it looks like a death, right? But what happens to that seed when it gets buried? You know, presumably in Christ, it's a metaphor for losing yourself in Christ. It grows into a beautiful, flourishing tree, plant, you know, it grows into something even more true than that seed. And that's what Jesus is talking about there, right? We're not supposed to die to the good things that God has given us. We're not supposed to die. So what I often say to people, sometimes the things we need to die to or deny are our tendency to please other people, to overwork, to perform, as opposed to doing the work of honoring some limitations, saying a hard no that's hard to say, but it's holy, a holy no, you know, being holistic. God is holistic, mind, body, emotions, right? He cares about all of us, caring for our bodies, for our physical health. You know, that is all a part of sometimes dying to things might be, you know, dying to ignoring something that's screaming for attention in our own physical or emotional life. And so, you know, we have to be really careful in how some of those messages have been internalized, especially if there's been trauma or wounding. Sometimes we can get conditioned to want to take on fixing everybody around us because it's easier than facing our own pain. And that's a tough one. That's a tough one, you know, but it's not healthy. We have to look at ourselves too.
I remember a friend told me the story. He operates at a very high level, helps a lot of people in a big leadership ministry role. But his friends and family sent him on this retreat, and it was kind of a therapy retreat. And I think it was the opening night or one of the first 2 days, the leader had said, okay, everybody, the ship is going down. There's not enough lifeboats. What do you do? And when they went around, and he said, I give up my lifeboat. And she said, oh, why is that? And he goes, because I care for people. And I mean, it's my living. I help people. And She goes, well, I'm quite sure that's what you are like in general, but I would submit you're giving up your lifeboat for an opposite reason in this case. And he said, well, what do you mean? She goes, I would submit you don't care about your life at all because that's what got you here. Your friends and family, you're living like your life doesn't matter. And it's costing everybody. And it was like this massive wake-up call that what kind of offering is your life if it's not one that you care about? And it was like a major paradigm shift. And I think so often when we misinterpret that message, you're talking about dying and Jesus is Jesus, others and yourself. To me, when you're walking with Jesus, he puts your oxygen mask on so you can tend to others. But man, we lose so much when we misconstrue that.
The best gift, and I say this especially when I'm talking about healing from childhood wounds, because this is really hard when we've got parents we have to that have maybe not been treating us correctly, and we've got some wounds there. The best thing I'll say is the best way to honor other people is to do your own work, is to get yourself healed. Mm. That's the best gift you have to give own children. The best gift you have to give your friends. And it's what we see in Jesus. Again, we see Jesus having healthy boundaries. Jesus took time for himself. He took time away from the crowds. It's just something we have to kind of re-impress upon ourselves because we've lost sight of it so much.
Mm, boy, that's so good. Okay, let's talk about these distinctions between selfishness, selflessness, and selfhood. Oh my goodness, that was like light bulb for me. So why don't you unpack each?
Yeah, so oftentimes, you know, when I do this work with women, the first, you know, say, you know, kind of ask them a question, I'll say like, well, what do you want in this situation? What do you need? And one of the first things they'll say to me is, isn't that selfish? You know, we so don't want to be selfish. And so what I say to people is selfishness is essentially this posture of it's all about me. It's only about me. It's my way or the highway. I only think about what I need. I only go after what I want. Okay, that is selfish. That's not what we're after. The other end of that spectrum is selflessness. And it's not the model that we see in Jesus. This is not, you know, there's a selflessness that we see in Jesus that is not what I'm talking about here. This selflessness, which is, it's never about me. It's only about other people. My needs never matter. My wants never matter. I never speak up for what I need. That is equally unhealthy. That is not a recipe for health in you or in your relationships. And so there's this middle word. It's called selfhood. It's a term from psychology where you become a true person, a whole person. You become the person God made you to become. You have a strong sense of self, selfhood. And when you have a strong sense of health, self, it's both. Here's what I need, and I care about what you need. Here's what I want, and I care about what you want. It's both you and me. Again, it's a relationship, two people, two sets of needs. Now, this is when we get into, we got to negotiate. We have to compromise. We have to care for each other. When two whole people are saying, hey, this is what I need. I get that this is what you need. Guess what? We get into this beautiful space of what Jesus and, you know, designed for relationships, which is intimacy. We know each other. You know, we look out for each other. Sometimes we compromise. Sometimes we do make sacrifices, but we don't sacrifice saying, I don't actually need it. We sacrifice saying, I do need and want this, but in this instance, I can put it aside because I love you. That's sacrifice. Mm. Sacrifice is knowing what you want and need and then setting it aside. It's not doing it like you don't.
I was going to say, doing it from a full place, because if you know that both parties matter in the relationship, you're not grasping at straws. You're not defaulting to unhealthy thinking. You're knowing this. There's an ebb and flow to this. And so in this case, I've got it in me. I love this. You said selfhood is what you bring into your relationships. It gives you the courage to show up bravely with integrity, even when it means pointing out hard things or honoring your limits. It's an understanding that in any relationship, two people have perspectives that matter, and you are one of those people. And I loved how you pointed out how Jesus modeled selfhood. So I'll read a few of these and then have you just expound if you want. Jesus said yes to asking for help. Jesus said yes to choosing friends carefully. Jesus said yes to honoring his emotions. He said yes to his purpose. He said yes to sticking to his convictions. He said yes to joy in his work. And he said yes to hard conversations. Do you want to say more about that?
Yeah. I mean, I was just, when I kind of did this deep dive and just, you see the selfhood that Jesus had, the confidence that he had, and the no's that he said as well. He also said some no's. And the thing about Jesus is when he did sacrifice, it was from strength.
That's
he
right.
wasn't a victim. He chose. He didn't want. I mean, he cried. He agonized about it with God at the very last, at the end, with the ultimate sacrifice, which was his life. You know, that was sacrificial. Yes, 100%. But he wasn't coerced into that. He wasn't manipulated into that. It wasn't because he couldn't say no. That was not what was going on there, which is so often what it is for us when we call it sacrifice. He was in a position of strength. He chose to do that out of love for us. And that's very different. When we sacrifice for our kids or for a spouse or for a friend out of a place of strength and love, it's for their good. It's because it's what's good for them, and it's because we have the capacity to do it. It's not out of spinelessness. It's not out of being a doormat.
So good. So we talked about the things Jesus said yes to, and as you said, he said no as well. I love this. Jesus said no to being on all the time. Jesus said no to pleasing and performing. He said no to toxic behavior, to bullies and abusers, to arrogance, and to damaging rules. And I just love him, so radical. And I mean, think even the way that he came and reinstated the Sabbath in a way that's life-giving for the people rather than rule-keeping and impossible and oppressive. I mean, he was just the epitome of emancipation, wasn't he? Of freedom, setting captives free.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
Wow, love that. The selfless acts of Jesus were always rooted in the clarity he had about who he was and his larger purpose. I want you to think about, friend, that's what Dr. Cook wrote. The selfless acts of Jesus were always rooted in the clarity he had about who he was and his larger purpose. I want you just to imagine as Jesus just fills you up and he establishes this is where you end and another person begins, and you have this healthy, holy confidence where God is healing you, establishing you, and you can engage in relationships with just a humble, holy confidence because you know God has you and you matter. When we come back, Dr. Cook, I want to walk through the questions that you challenge us to consider, kind of a personal inventory. The first one is, what new direction do you want to take? We're going to take them one by one. There's six really important questions. And friends, if you're in a position to take notes, I would challenge you to write these questions down. Sit down with someone you love and just talk about these questions, process them together, or process them with God. Talking to Dr. Allison Cook today, her book, The Best of You, Break Free from Painful Patterns, Mend Your Past, and discover your true self in God. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Go. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Allison Cook today about the best of you. And I want you to think about in the Gospels where it says Jesus knew that he'd come from God and would return to God. So he picked up the towel and the basin. So the King of the universe knew where he came from, knew where he's going, so he could do what the lowliest servant would have done. I mean, just want you to imagine walking through life with such a holy, humble confidence that you know your identity isn't up for grabs, not changeable with popular opinion. Your identity is tethered to and found in Jesus, so you can show up in life healing, because he's healing your soul, he's making you whole with a confident, humble approach to your relationships, that there's a healthy give and take. That's what Dr. Allison Cook's book is all about, The Best of You, Break Free from Painful Patterns, Mend Your Past, and Discover Your True Self in God. And Dr. Cook, you offer these six questions, and my hubby and I have a date night tonight. We're going to walk through these. I think they're so great. The first one is, what new direction do you want to take? So unpack that a little bit. Just when you're dealing and working with your clients, where do you go with that question?
Yeah, often it's, again, moving toward that yes side of no. Oftentimes people are coming to me very frustrated in certain relationships, frustrated in their work environment, frustrated in certain situations. And so to sort of get out of that negative pathway, we're going to have to deal with that. I ask these questions to kind of shift into the creativity, you know, into the what new direction would you want to take? You know, imagine, sometimes I'll say, imagine your life 5 years from now. What would you want to see yourself doing? Just to kind of stimulate that curiosity and that creativity, because we tend to make better decisions when we're being curious, when we're being creative than when we're filled with criticism and anger and rage and all those things. So that's just one to kind of begin to go, what would I change? What direction would I like to take? It could be today. It could be next year. It could be in a relationship. I'd like to be more free. I'd like to be more firm. I'd like to be more, you know, whatever it is. Just begin to dream a little bit.
I wonder if it actually releases feel-good hormones as you're doing that, because it shows that you have some agency, you have some say. When you start to dream and go, you know, there's a place I can go, I can approach this differently, I have some choices in the matter. I don't know, wouldn't that stir up a sense of gladness and goodness within you?
We are finding that curiosity, that quality of curiosity, which is really what we're talking about, creativity is also part of it, it just unlocks so many good neural pathways in the brain. It's just the place, it's almost a solution for all kinds of issues. It brings in all sorts of good chemicals. It's just, again, curiosity. Sometimes creativity is great too, but sometimes that feels too hard to people. But just simply asking yourself, what if? What if? You don't have to make it happen. You know, it's a wonderful next step that absolutely opens up your whole body to a whole new way of thinking.
So good. Okay, second question. What or who do you want more of in your life? Say more.
Again, you know, we tend to fixate on what's not working. So what do you long for? What qualities in a person do you long for? Who's someone who brings out, you know, that quality? Who's someone you feel safe with? Who's someone who has asked about you? When have you felt alive with someone? And again, it's just, again, trying to open up instead of, oh, you know, my friends just drive me crazy all the time. All they want to do is this. Again, the negativity, which we all kind of fall into from time to time. It's what, you know, who does bring out good stuff, the things I want to move toward. And it kind of opens you up and it forces you to think, who are the people I really enjoy? Sometimes you're surprised. You know, sometimes I'm surprised at the answers people will give me and they're surprised. They're like, gosh, it's not who I thought it was. It's this person I tend to discount. And it's like, exactly. Sometimes that person that's just quietly available, quietly loving, quietly patient, you know, there's not a lot of drama. Oh my gosh, that's a real good friend, you know.
Sometimes that's so good.
Yeah.
And it is, I think it's such an indicator too, when something like that revelation comes, you realize sometimes you give your power away to someone that you want
yes.
their approval. There's times you're mad you're not getting it. And while
yes.
you're putting all that focus over there, you're missing right. the faithful few that are right next to you, you know?
Exactly. Wow.
So good. Okay. What needs are you dying to have met? I bet for people who say, oh, that's so selfish, I bet it's such an awakening when they dare to go, you know what, I'm going to answer this. You know, I do have some needs. What do you say?
People are typically shocked, actually, at how not selfish they are. That they think it's selfish to ask the question, but when they do, and I also at the end of that chapter have you just write down 10 things you really want. And again, people are like, that's so selfish. And they always come back to me and they're shocked. They're like, a good, you know, 60, 70, 80% of them were not selfish at all. You know, I want peace. I want, you know, so what needs am I dying to have met? I want good sleep. I want a day off. I want rest. I want more time with God. I want more time, you know, to do things I love. Those are really good things. You know, those are needs, legitimately. So I think what I find is people are shocked that the needs they're dying to have met are actually things God often wants for them.
So good. And that in itself must be a revelation, because
yes.
I think
when
our head is down and we're not even considering these things, we can automatically blame or accuse God as if he doesn't care. But the invitation is right there. So good. All right.
Another one on that one that I think is worth noting is a lot of times I'll hear, I'm dying to have somebody ask about me, right? I'm dying to have somebody, I need someone to check in on me. I need more help. And inevitably, and this is true in my own life, we've conditioned people by never sharing that need.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've trained people not. And so we have to do that hard thing. You know, identifying that need means, have I said to someone, I need you to check in on me? That's vulnerable. But right then we actually have to start stating that need.
Boy, very, very good. Okay. What convictions are you aching to protect?
Yeah, I really wanted to talk about convictions, because this isn't all just about wants and needs. What's a belief? You know, this people have convictions. God gives us, and they're different for some of us. For you, it might be, I have this conviction that this thing is wrong, and I need to do something about it. whether it's, you know, the way children are treated, whether it's poverty, whether it's bullying, you know, whatever it is, or whether it's just this conviction that something needs to happen at my church, there's a way we need to be doing a Bible study, whatever it is, that's purpose. That's getting at meaning, something that matters. That brings us life. We need to pay attention to those things. Things that kind of bother us can sometimes turn into convictions that we can do something about and get positive about.
And that, you know, that's such the opposite of denying the convictions, having them, but right. discounting them and then that's resenting right. that they're that's not being addressed. And again, how often do we meet people that are have turned to cynicism and jaded, just being jaded about life because they're not addressing those things. And
Exactly. Wow.
I mean, imagine if your convictions as you ache to protect them turn into a purpose and then life,
yes.
and you know, God's been like, I've been waiting here this whole
yes.
time to
yes.
unleash you. So good.
Yes.
Okay, what step can you take toward unlocking your potential?
And again, this one is getting at people who feel stuck, people who feel thwarted, and maybe there's good reason for that. You know, maybe they've been buried under having children. Maybe they didn't have opportunities that they wanted to have. But I don't care how old you are or how, you know, where you are in life, there's a step you can take, no matter how small, that honors your own gifts, your talents, the things God put in you that, you know, that this kind of gets in the area of gifting, talents, whatever it is. What's one small step you can take? Maybe you can't go become a concert pianist, you know, because, you know, you got to do the thing at home, but maybe you can go play a piano, you know, this is just an example, you know, you love music and you had to give that up. Maybe you can just do a little bit of it this week and it brings you joy and you're moving closer to who God made you to be and you're tasting. That's joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. You're giving yourself that joy.
Very good. Final question. What brings out the best in you?
Yeah, and that's kind of just a nod to the title of the book. We give, sometimes people, we, you know, there's the saying people get the best of us, which means kind of they take advantage of us. And so I'm flipping it and going, what brings out the best of you? When do you feel alive? When do you feel full of goodness, of joy? When do you feel like you're in that calm, creative, curious space, right? This is what we want. This is the life God wants for us. And we get glimpses of it. We're not there all the time. And sometimes when you're really, really stuck, you feel like you're never there. So if you can't think of it, look back to the past. When you were a kid, what brought out the best of you? What did you love? When you were a teenager, when you were in your 20s, what's something that just brought you life? And think about that. And it kind of gets at, you know, the think on what's beautiful, what's good, what's noble. What brought out the best of you? And try to bring a little more of that into your life. That's moving toward that person God wants you to become.
So inviting, so good. How would you just answer that question for yourself, Dr. Cook? That where are you in your sweet spot?
Right now, what's bringing out the best in me is, to circle back to the beginning, is saying a lot of no's. And it's a muscle that I've had to learn to exercise. But what I've learned is when I protect my margin, when
me
I
too.
Protect some free space, that mm-hmm. spaciousness, I'm a better person. I'm a better yeah. parent. I'm a better friend. I'm a better spouse. I'm a better writer. When mm-hmm. I am tapping into that creativity and that joy inside of me is when I have to say some hard no's to protect that spaciousness inside of my own soul.
That's so good. That's exactly me too. And it's so funny because I was going to wrap with this last quote if you want to comment. But this is a charge for us, friends, as you're listening today. When you live from a strong sense of self, your yes and your no become strong, clear, and powerful. And I would add, just like Jesus, as Dr. Cook really pointed that out. What do you know about God now that you didn't know even 5-6 years ago?
I didn't know that God wasn't so interested in me being nice, in me being always on for other people, as he is interested in spending time with me. And that sounds really cliche, but it's really true. Even 5 years ago, I still thought what God really wanted me to do was always be on for other people. And what I have learned, in part through those 6 months after that stroke, was that what God really wants is just to spend time with me. And it's just precious. It's the most precious gift. But that's where life is good. And that's where beauty is found. And that's where I become the best version of who God made me to be.
Wow. It's just wish I could put that on a poster.
Time with him.
Yeah. Time with Jesus is where life is good. Where what did you say? Where life is good and creativity
beauty
is found. Yeah, so beautiful. So good, Dr. Cook. Thank you for giving us the time today. I pray, friends, you found some encouragement here. And I pray you'll come back because I feel like there's so much more in the book we haven't even touched on. But wow, it was a great conversation. Thanks for the heart and time you put into it.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So good, friends. I pray you found some encouragement as well. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit yet. I'm going to give you the title one more time. Dr. Allison Cook is my guest today. The title is The Best of You. Break free from painful patterns, mend your past, and discover your true self in God. Dare to ask yourself some of these questions. What new direction do you want to take? Who or what do you want more of in your life? What needs are you dying to have met? What convictions do you need to and aching to protect? What steps can you take towards unlocking your potential? And what brings out the best in you? We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.